It's good to see everybody. I would like to. It is a testament to Hector's character that not only has he done such good things for this place, but he is mum's the word. I'm getting better at my humility, but in the past I tended to seek praise for my good deeds. So to like do something so big and to help so many people and to do it with such a humble spirit. Dude, I mean, I just can't thank you enough. I really appreciate it. He's such a good dude. And there's a lot of what I was going to talk about today that kind of incorporates into that. But before we get down to the nitty-gritty, I wanted to talk about some history. Just a fun fact that I learned this week when I said nitty-gritty. You know the term nitpicking? Back in the 1700s, 1600s, really, with Louis XIV and Charles II, those big Captain Hook wigs came into fashion. And that was because as a nobleman, you were expected to be strong and virile. And so if you were, like, balding in any way, which many of them had gotten from, like, syphilis, then that was seen as, like, so that's why they started wearing those wigs. But they didn't shower back then. So they would get fleas and everything. So if you were a rich man, even a rich woman, you would have your wig, but that wig would get filled with all kinds of gross stuff, and the eggs of fleas are called nits, and so you would give it to your manservant or whatever, and he would use a tiny comb. Like, if any of you have ever had, like, there's lice at school, and then you got to take your kids home and come through that's nitpicking. And so to nitpick is to, like, try and look at the smallest thing. I thought that was interesting. But so the history lesson, I've been doing a lot of reading about the early church, and I think it's very important to remember these things as we're going through, especially the book of Acts and the letters. Today, when we think about church and Christianity, most of us have preconceived notions of what that is, right? When we come to church, there are things we expect to do, right? We're not going to play Dungeons and Dragons here. We're going to pray. We're going to read the scriptures, right? We're going to sing, maybe. Because we have 2,000 years of built-up tradition now. But it's important to remember that when Christianity first starts, many people who came to Christ had no idea what that meant. So Paul, once again, we're going to deal with him on a number of occasions, and Barnabas or Peter or any one of the apostles comes through and they speak in power. The Holy Spirit invades these people's hearts and they say, boom, I want some of that. And then Peter says, all right, cool, see ya. And he moves to the next town. And so they're loving it, right? But then the next week they got to meet and have service. But Peter's not there. Well, what are the rules then? Are we allowed to drink? What if I'm married and I die? Who should take care of my wife? Right? There's all these like little questions. So that's why they're writing to Paul constantly. And Paul and Peter and all of them are kind of writing these letters addressing these individual problems that may have come up. Even Paul, who is, in my opinion, somebody who is a bit of a bandwagoner. I don't know nobody was a Warriors fan back in the 90s, right, Jed? Nobody liked the Golden State Warriors because they were garbage. They had Chris Mullin, and that's it. But when I became a teacher in the 2010s, everybody became a Warriors fan because Steph Curry, and they started being good, right? So Paul is, in a way, trying to make a name for himself. He disagrees with Barnabas. When the Romans start persecuting the Christians, it's easy for us to live in the time that we do. Even people with whom I disagree about politics or religion or any number of things, I'm not worried that they're going to kill me and enslave my children. We live in a life free of care in many ways. The early Christians, if you were found to be a Christian, the punishments were real. Feed you to a lion. tie you to a stick and burn you, right? Crucify you, any number of gruesome deaths. And so when the Romans would come and hunt Christians, they would say, if you repent from your Christianity, then you get to live. So some of them, and I don't know which one I would be, probably one of the people who repented, would, even though they were Christian, because they didn't want to be burned or mauled or who knows what other terrible things, would say the prayer to Caesar and then like try and double cross, right? Some Christians, the martyrs, said, no way, dude, no way. And they would die for their beliefs. And then some people didn't get caught. But then the church is left with these recusants, people who doubled back on their faith, and they come back and they're like, I'm sorry. And they're like, well, Ezekiel got eaten by lions, man. So what does the church do with these people? Right? And different church leaders have different views on that. But when they're writing all of these books, they're trying to figure it out. Right? Jesus gives us the core tenets, but then he goes and he sends the helper to help us figure it out. But the people of the time are entrenched in this belief that knowledge comes from the guy ahead of you. After World War II, when they round up all the Nazis, everybody's like, hey man, I was just following orders. All of the early Christians are saying, hey man, I'm just following orders. Because that's the easier way. And Paul says, it's not through works, but by faith through grace you're saved. So you can't do anything. You're already condemned. You're already a piece of garbage. And it's only because you believe in Jesus that you find any redemption at all. So therefore, works are completely irrelevant and superfluous. I would say that that is one of the biggest lies that he has foisted upon us. Because it's not only through faith and grace, but the works that get you where you want to go. If I say, I'm going to start eating right and working out tomorrow, then tomorrow wakes up and Aiden says, can we order Chipotle? Sure. I'm going to work out and start eating right tomorrow. Nothing happens until I start working on it. It's not through faith and grace. It's through the work. Taking up your cross every day. Being a better person. That's where the salvation comes. That's not even all the things I'm going to talk about, Mom. I was talking with Steve a little bit about the words of the Bible. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew, but the New Testament is written in Greek. Let me back up a little bit. We look at ourselves now as the penultimate human beings, and we have knowledge that makes what people knew 200 years ago seem pretty silly, right? Putting leeches on and bad humors, right? And we think, how stupid they are. We know so much more, right? If you look at an atom, which you can't do because they are so small, the atom is made up of three components: neutrons, which have zero charge, protons, which have a positive charge, and electrons, which orbit the nucleus of protons and neutrons, have a negative charge. And they all the numbers have to add up to make the atom stable. If you have more protons than electrons, then the atom is unstable and it'll blow up and release energy. That's bad. And if you have more neutrons, then it'll steal, and right? But there is actual literal space between the nucleus and the electrons. So if you look at your hand is made up of atoms, right? And there's actually space between each one of the cells and atoms in your hand, but it's so small that you can't see it. But then if you look at that wall is made up of atoms, and there are space between those atoms and electrons and neutrons. Quantum physics says that if I walk at that wall enough times, sooner or later I will pass through it because the spaces between our atoms will match up given enough tries. Does that make sense? Now, some people say, well, you know, Jesus, being the Son of God, could manipulate his atoms, and so therefore he could pass through the wall. And so what looks like a miracle to us is really just science. Did that track? In 1,000 years, what will they know about Jesus, about heaven, about the universe, about the cosmos that we don't know now? They could explain all of the things we have to take on faith. The ancient Greeks believed that the earth was created when Uranus, the god of the sky, and Gaia, the god of the earth, laid together. I'm glad Annie left. Right? And they laid together and they had a child named Kronos, and that's time. And once they laid together, then time is created and you're off to the races. Right? Now, of course they think that's how creation began, because they're humans who lacked the knowledge of the Big Bang and the James Webb telescope. So if somebody says, how did all things come into being? Well, two gods got together. That's how it happened. Then if you look at the Old Testament, how did all things come into being? Well, God woke up one day and he said, let there be light. And then he got tired and he went to sleep, and then he woke up the second day. Are we to believe that that's still the way things happened? The Big Bang, described by science, explains how all things came into being. First there was light. The Big Bang. And then masses started to come together. And then there was the earth and the sky, right? Science explained to us what we had already known, that God created it. Did he create it by waking up out of his big bed and speaking words that... Or did it take billions of years? But to God, billions of years are a day. On the sixth and final day, he created humans in his image. That has given rise to the idea that humans look like God. So therefore, God must be a big old dude with a beard, living somewhere in a cosmic... But I would argue that the image that we are created in his likeness is not in our form, but in our function. God did not come into earth as a buffalo or a lion, because they lack his image. They lack his cognitive prowess. It can't be anybody else. It has to be us, because we're the only ones that can do what needs to be done. To listen to the Holy Spirit, to think about what he's saying, and do the work. That's the only way it happens. When I was talking with Steve, the first chapter of John, my favorite book, says, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That the word, the Greek word, is logos, which means knowledge. In the beginning was the knowledge, and that knowledge was with God, and that knowledge was God. And he created us in his likeness to be able to interface with him. But we lack the logos at our current state to fully understand him. But that doesn't mean that we won't in the future. Each discovery made by scientists explains a little bit more. And I'm not a quantum physicist, Stephen Hawking kind of guy, but I still have the knowledge of the Holy Spirit that helps me and guides me. I had a cat named Lulu, and she, like most cats, would knock everything off a table that she saw. From now until the day she dies, Lulu will knock things off the table. She can't not knock things off the table. Or sleep on your chest when you're laying on your back. But I am not the man that I was 10 years ago. Thank you, Jesus, I'm not the man I was 10 years ago. Because I have the Logos. And when I humble myself and do the work and listen to Him, I gain more of it. Because that's my capacity. I'm in His image. That's kind of shorthand. He has the capacity for knowledge. He's given that to me. But the enemy is the antithesis of that, and he wants ignorance. So he says, no, you can't know. That's impossible for you to know. Just shut up and listen. That's why Karl Marx says that religion is the opiate of the masses. The idea that you can keep the people in their terrible state because they're just waiting and not doing anything. But not me. Not us. We continue to work because that's what we're meant to do. I've been thinking a lot, especially during the summer, I'm not so busy, about being a pastor and what that means. I remember when I was a kid, people would say, "Hey, Dad's a pastor. When you grow up, you're going to be a pastor?" And it like scared me and angered me because I looked at how my dad lived, like praying 4 hours a day. I don't want to do that. So I was like, no. And now that I find myself in this position for however long it lasts, I want to be as best I can at it. So I need to gain logos. And so I'm thinking about what that means. The Dalai Lama is the head of the state of Tibet, as you know, and his country has been taken over by the Chinese. And Tibet was one of the only countries that I've ever heard of that didn't have a military. They didn't have, like, any kind of defensive force. So the Chinese army was just able to walk in there, and they were, like, you know, praying against them, and that didn't seem to work. The Dalai Lama fled. This is back, like, in the 50s. And has been traveling around ever since, meditating, praying, and kind of advocating on Tibet's behalf. And everybody, even people who are not Buddhists, respects the Dalai Lama. They respect him because of the logos that he has, the knowledge that he has. And he got that knowledge by doing. He got that knowledge by spending time praying, meditating. Now, I'm not a Buddhist, so I don't share Dalai Lama's belief system. However, I do recognize his knowledge, and I recognize the hard work that it would have taken to get that. Right? And so if I want to be the kind of person that has peace of mind and that has logos that other people respect, I can't do it by just talking up here every week. Therein lies the problem. How do we become the people that we always want to be? I try not to do it, but when you look on Instagram and you see everybody's facade, everybody has this imagined person that they are, or that they're going to be. Whether it's in their physique, or their finances, or their travel and experiences, or their avocado toast, whatever it is, what they want is not currently what they are. That's why you can go on Instagram and YouTube and find a million get-rich-quick schemes and lose-fat-quick schemes. The only two words that were the same in both of those were quick and schemes. We all want more money. We all want to be healthier in our bodies. But you don't get that unless you do the work. That's why I'm so blown away. Sorry, Hector, you're getting it all today. Blown away by a man like Hector doing the work. You ever meet somebody like an old friend? And you're like, hey man, we gotta have coffee sometime. But you both know you're not gonna get coffee. Just empty words. Oh yeah, man, I'm gonna do this and that and this and that and this. Empty words. It's the work that has to be done. If I come up here every week and rant and rave and clap my hands and yell at Aiden, and then go back to my own life living the way I was last week, there's no growth, there's no logos, there's no the thing that I want. How do I get it? Who on earth could have this answer? Gwyneth Paltrow? There are people who are wise in the world. My buddy Zoltan Hrodko is a wise man. He got that by doing stuff. He'd go to like retreats where you don't speak for a week, and he educated himself. He did the work. And his work paid off, because now I look at him and I say, wow, that's a man who's dedicated. He's got knowledge. I feel that about many of the people in this room. The knowledge that we have only occurred because of the work that we did. But we have to continue. So this week, we got to make a plan about how we're going to do that. It can be something frivolous. Not frivolous, like less of import. Like I want to, you know, save some money. I guess that's not as important. But or it could be something, I want to see the face of Jesus. Anything in between. The things that we want, we can have. With guidance through the Holy Spirit, matched with the work that we do. It's the enemy that wants us where we're at. 10 years ago, I was miserable. Can't even tell you. When the people come to fix the back house, they'll notice that some of the doors don't close. That's because I kicked them in. Because I was in a relationship that was so miserable. The devil wants me there. He's going to fight to keep me there. He's going to fight to keep me where I'm at right now. It would be easy for me to say, well, I'm not miserable like I was, so therefore, I'm good. But I want to be in 10 years looking back at where I am now and think, look how much I've grown. And it's possible. People want to think you peak in your 20s and 30s. I look at the man that I was when I was in 20s and 30s. If I had a time machine, I'd go back and punch myself in the face. The man I am now is the man that I wanted to be then. And the man I want to be in 10 years from now, I will become by working. My son said something about, like, where I was like, we got to play video games. He's like, well, you can't get mad when we play video games. And I took offense. And my knee-jerk reaction was like, you get mad at it. And then as I was walking to the car, I was like, oh, yeah, I do get mad when I play video games. I got to work on that. I got to work on that. The devil's plan for me is not going to be the same one he has for you. I got stuck with the IRS big time. My weakness lies in small envelopes and paperwork and windows, numbered windows, window 1, 2, 3. I can't seem to... I can work out pretty well. I worked out yesterday right before work. Getting shredded, Hector. It's going to be awesome. But if somebody's like, hey man, you got to pay this bill by this... You got to go down to the courthouse and pay this $75 renewal thing. God, dude, I don't have the time. I got kids, man. I got work. And I'll think of a million reasons why I can't do the thing. until I get a letter from the IRS saying, you owed us this much, so we're taking it from your job. And by the way, we charged you double that for making us send you this letter. Curses! They got me again, dude. That may not happen to Daniel because he enjoys the bureaucracy. But there might be something that he has a way of, well, I got to do this. You understand? The devil wants us right where we're at. Because there's no growth. And if there's no growth, then there's no life. So the question is, how do we listen to the Holy Spirit and analyze what's keeping us where we're at? And then having the courage to attack that plan. And it's so insidious because it's the thing that we are most susceptible to. Some people can have a glass of wine. That's it. Some people, if they have one, they'll have five. I can't seem to not eat sugar. Remember I talked about the ice cream last week? Jude and I made strawberry shortcake last night at 11 o'clock. That's when I get off of work. And then I had a tummy ache. Again. I just got to keep on working. But I am getting better in other ways. I got to take encouragement from my growth and use that courage to face into new tasks. I drove to the airport twice last week. Or maybe it was like in a week and a half. And both times, I was calm as Hindu cows. This is traffic? Who cares? We'll get there when we get there, Todd. Parked in the thing, walking in the thing. That may not be a big deal for you, but for me, it is like, it's huge. And I got to remember that when I'm feeling down about myself, when I get the IRS, and I'm like, dang it, Gabe, you let it happen again, man. You let it happen again. You just pay the thing when you paid it, and then you wouldn't have to do all this. I do need to do that. But I can't look at that letter and be like, you dumb piece of crap, you blew it again. I got to work at it. I worked at the car. Now I work at the bills. And then I work at the prayer. And then I work at every single thing. Each new enemy that presents itself, I overcome. From now until I die when I'm 1,000. The work. How many people live lives that are sad? How many of us, the billions of humans on this planet, created in the image of God, capable of magnificent things, and we live our lives in drudgery? We live our lives in ill health. Now, what are you going to do? Just getting older. No. And I'm not going out like that. It can be mine. It can be yours. The man that I was, I no longer am. Because I did the work. It was scary, often. It was painful, sometimes. It was necessary, always. But I keep on going, because I can keep on going. Because just like the one who created me, my capacity is infinite. And it's not through a trick. It's not by imaginizing it. It's not by subscribing to it. It's by listening to the Holy Spirit, His wisdom, pointing out the things, and then having the courage to do those things. It's so simple. If you ask anybody, what's the best way to get in shape? Eat healthy and exercise. And yet, it's so difficult. Why is it so easy to boot up a PS5? Why is it so easy to sit down and have the glass of wine? Why is it so easy to scroll through the stuff? Because that's what the devil wants us to do. Because as long as I'm scrolling through the Instagram, I'm not working on project number one. Now, does that mean that I got to live like a monk? Go to a cave somewhere? I certainly hope not. I can play video games, but I got to be more aware. And I did a little bit better this week. I spent more time with my children. It's not like I'm just playing video games for hours, but you know what I'm saying. You're done with work and you're tired and you could go do the thing like go to the gym or pay the bills or spend time with the kids, but you find yourself on your phone or whatever it may be for you. For me, it's video games. I'm working, I'm getting just a little bit better. And the time that I spend with my kids pays dividends. That's why, I'll close with this, that's why I think this place is so important. When I think back on my life of how many plans I had, how many like, oh, I'm going to get this, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to see this person, or I'm going to... And I look back at all the times they just fell apart, like they always do. Is that my life? Well-intentioned plans that fall apart? No. It will not be. It cannot be. As long as I'm doing the work. And as many times as I fall down, hope believes all things, hopes all things, love endures all things. It does not fail. As many times as I'm willing to try, He's willing to back me up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. It's good and it's right. He would have us think about hell and who's wrong and how you get to heaven and just fritter away the time that we have. I'm not going to let him. We're not going to let him. Hector's not going to let him. Sam's not going to let him. We're not going to let him anymore. We can have it in our marriages, in our jobs, in our lives, in our bodies, in our children. We have the capacity for it because we're like Him. Thank you for giving me this time. It's a blessing. Be blessed and encouraged this week. It's so easy to forget. We feel good, and then we go outside and somebody cuts us off, or we go outside and a kid says, so what are we having for dinner? Right? And it just robs us of the thing that we deserve. Just got to remind ourselves and do the work. Put it in your phone, like a reminder in your calendar. I don't know. My sister Ashley used to have these like big laminated calendars, and she'd put everything. I teased her once because she like put in her calendar, marry Chuck, because on their wedding day, to-do list, right? You got to marry Chuck on this day. You know, they pick up, you know, they go to the dry cleaners on Tuesday, marry Chuck on Thursday. Whatever it is for you, your system has to. The Lord will guide you if you're diligent. And one day, I'm going to call the IRS instead of them calling me. Like, where's my money? Can, and it will be ours. Thank you. I'm going to close in prayer. Lord, thank you for these people. Thank you for this building, Lord. We know that you are love, Lord. And your capacity for love is infinite. We want to be those kinds of people. Give us the opportunity, Lord. Help us. line things up for us. Help us in our financial endeavors. Bless us in our conversations with people. Help those who would come to this property to rent it. Help them to be encouraged and to see what this place really is. Bless us, Lord, in our bodies, in our minds, in our relationships, in our jobs, in our school. Your capacity is limitless. Help us to remember that we have that same thing. Remind us this week to work at it and give us the courage and wisdom to do it. Bind the devil's plans from us. Keep him at bay. Dismantle his plans before they even come to fruition, Lord. And help us live another week better than we were last week. And bring us back next Sunday full of hope and praise reports for the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ. In your name I pray. Amen.